Outside, they heard the jailhouse music of jangling chains. A guard knocked once and steered Collins Farwell into the room, shackled from the waist and bound hand and foot. Collins was medium color, with light eyes and a perfectly cropped sponge of African hair. As advertised, he was large and handsome. His eyes were nearly orange and as luminescent as a cat's, and he was clearly aware of his good looks. The officer placed him at an adjoining table and padlocked his ankle chain to a black hasp, bolted on the floor.
"Want a time cut, man," said Collins as soon as the officer was out the door.
"Whoa," said Larry. "Take a few steps back there, bud. Maybe we ought to say howdy."
"I said, I want a time cut."
Collins addressed Muriel, realizing it was the PA who'd make the decisions.
"How much dope did you have when they busted you?" she asked.
"1/2 pound."
"How about you tell us what you got?" Muriel asked. She explained the ground rules.
Collins shook his head.
"Didn't tell nobody I'd testify, man. I'm going to be inside some time now. Isn't that so? No matter what I say, I'm inside, right?"
Muriel nodded.
"That's hard time if I testify. G.O.'s," he said, referring to the gangster outlaws, "they don't wait to see you go to state twice."
"Look," said Muriel, "you're not our dream date either. A triple X who's talking to get out from under life doesn't sell to a jury like a nun. But if you won't get behind what you're going to tell us, it's worth nothing."
"Can't testify," said Collins. "Put me on the lie box, man. Okay. But no way I can get up there. I'm strictly a C.I.
confidential informant. They went at it a few more minutes, but Muriel was willing to pass on his testimony. Ultimately, she offered to try to sell a time cut in the office, but only if Collins' information led to a conviction, and they'd have to hear what he had to offer right now. Collins stretched his neck, rotating it as if to ease some small discomfort.
"I was in this tavern," he said then. "Lamplight."
"When?"
she asked. "Last week, right before I got cracked, Tuesday, and there's this hook who comes around there, some raggedy street thing, you know."
"Name?"
"Folks there call him Squirrel. I don't know why, probably 'cause he's like nuts."
Collins took a second to enjoy that.
"Anyway, I was kicking with some dudes, and this Squirrel, he's kind of sneaking around, selling shit."
"What shit was he selling?" asked Larry.
"He had gold last week, chains, and he's pulling them out of his pockets, and he's got something, what the hell they call that lady's necklace with the face on it?"
"Cameo?" asked Muriel. He snapped his long fingers.
"One of his brothers at the bar wanted to see it, and Squirrel shows him, but he's like, 'No way, man, that's not for sale.' Turns out it opens up, you know, under the face. It's a locket, and it's got two little pictures inside, two babies. 'Kin gonna give good money for that,' he says."
"What do you mean, kin?"
"Hell," he says, "lady, I got that offer. She's 6 under now. Busted a cap in her, and his brother, man, you know, he don't look like he'd take off anybody. I'm like, 'Man, you sky up.' 'Word,' he says. 'Smoked her and 2 more back there on the 4th of July. You seen it too, man. TV and all. I was famous. Everything. I got me a whole lot of shit off of all them, but I done unloaded it, except that piece, 'cause ain't nobody gonna give what her kin will pay. Gonna do like ransom or something once it get cold and all, and I need me money for a place to stay.'"
Collins shrugged. He wasn't sure what to think of it himself. Larry asked for a description of the locket. Many of the items lifted from the victims had been mentioned in the papers, and Larry was clearly looking for undisclosed details.
"Any more?" Muriel asked Collins once he'd answered Larry.
"Mm-mm," said Collins.
"Not even a full name on this character?" asked Larry.
"Oh, no, man. Could be somebody calling him Ronnie or something like that."
"You think it was woofing about killing those 3 people?
"Could be," Collins said. "Right now, I'm hoping like hell he wasn't, but you know, man gets buzzed. Who knows what he's gonna say?" "He was strutting, that's for sure."
Larry asked several more questions to which Collins had no answers. Then they sent him back to the tiers. They said nothing about him until they reached the street, outside the vast fortress that was the House of Corrections.
"Straight?" she asked him then.
"Probably so. If he was going to dress it up, he could have done a lot better than that."
Muriel asked how much of what Collins had said about the cameo had been in the papers. We never let out. It was a locket, Larry said. Those are Louise's daughter's baptism pictures in there. And I'll tell you what blows my mind is he's right. The thing is big stuff to the family, some kind of heirloom from Italy. This puke squirrel, one way or another, he has to know something. You calling Harold? I want to eyeball squirrel first. I won't say anything to Molto, Muriel answered. They stood in the encroaching cold, drawn together, as was so often the case, by the speed of their compact. Their breaths clouded and trailed away. Larry looked at her at length in the dim light. Time for a soda pop? He asked. She squinted through one eye. That sounds a little dangerous. You love danger, he said. That was true. She'd always loved danger, and Larry was part of it. But she was determined to grow up. The defendant in my case is going to jump on tomorrow. I should work on the cross. She provided a little sealed grin meant to reflect just a vapor of regret, then turned toward the PA's office across the street. Muriel, Larry said to her. When she revolved, he had his hands jammed in the pockets of his long jacket, and he flapped them against his side. His mouth moved, but he clearly had no idea what to say next. Instead, they stood in the night, facing each other, and let her name, spoken with the faintest, woeful echo, remain the last word.